Let us take note today of that which gives peace to the body, soul, or psychic man. Perfect love casts out fear. Both professional and lay opinion is substantially unanimous concerning the potency of what is termed faith. Fear and faith are respectively the negative and the positive poles of mind. The unnumbered cures resulting from a strong, even though superstitious, belief of a divine or miraculous efficacy residing in some shrine, holy bone, consecrated relic, king's touch, or mystical ceremony will hardly be questioned. The potency of bread pills and water hypodermics under favorable conditions has also been abundantly demonstrated. The law under which the imagination becomes so potent remains without systematic interpretation and utilization, and conventional interest in its own working does not easily penetrate below the mere surface of events which are soon forgotten. The imagining faculty has been regarded commonly as elusive, capricious, and hardly worthy of serious study. But if the mind has a creative power which may be greatly harmful or helpful, its possibilities should indeed be investigated. When a positive ideal or mental picture can be formed, which for the time being at least takes possession of the consciousness, we find that it rules out or displaces its opposites and negatives. This determinate ideal, faith, fear, or whatever it is, tends to outward articulation. The word is indeed made flesh. And as is the inner, so is the outer. It is simply a natural, physiological sequence without an iota of magic or miracle. In a scientific sense, faith may be defined as psychical energy, and this under favoring conditions may be set in motion by pure superstition. The momentum of a stone which is rolling downhill is the same whether it were started by accident or design. But besides that peculiar emotion termed faith, it is found that other wholesome and positive emotions and ideals take hold of the subconscious physiological processes. Among them are love, courage, optimism, purity, harmony, free of segregation tendencies, utter integration of thought, amalgamation and inclusiveness of spirit, altruism, but above all is a cultivated sense of a normal divine immanence as omnipresent God, good. This should be regarded not merely as moral and religious truth, but as having a scientific and, yes, evolutionary basis in the very nature of things. Exhaustive chemical and mechanical tests in the laboratory have detected in minute detail the invigorative effects of these positive states of consciousness. The submerged bodily activities respond to psychical suggestion with an exactitude which can only be interpreted as a law. We are seeing that the thought processes are being controlled in the laboratory, as we mentioned, perhaps on prior occasions, to such a degree that under suggestive therapy, women are able actually to control the very contour and shape of their own breasts, make them grow in the direction that they wish. We see in the laboratory that today, under various disciplines, they are actually able to bring down the blood pressure to normal range. And it has been proven in many institutes that one can stop the heartbeat for several periods of time, and they're able to control circulation of various parts of the body and correct it. This is being done in the most established and scholarly institutes of America. It is true indeed that specifically these unseen dynamics are elusive and difficult to trace and measure on the phenomenal plane, but it is certainly worthy when scientific laboratories are considering the phenomena of mind over matter that we in the church, our ecclesiastical age, begin to demonstrate this power also. It is written, let this mind be in us which is in Christ Jesus. In people's temple we are letting that Christ mind occupy every vacuum within our own being, and by so doing we have cured every known disease. Hundreds are healed in every one of our services. A midweek service has, it's not uncommon at all to find 1,000 people in attendance, and 100 healings take place before our eyes. In our last midweek service alone, 3 people that had paralytic conditions for years were cured immediately. One woman was unable to walk, and I came to her in that consciousness of the Word made flesh and spoke authoritatively to her, "You can walk." She left her crutches, screaming down the aisles as she ran, gained momentum. I can walk, I can walk. Truly, all things are possible to this Christ mind. If it's being demonstrated in the scientific laboratory, let's demonstrate it in the church as we are even doing, to the consequence that we are defeating disease in every form. And we've had a resurrection of 7 people from the dead. And in a congregation of 4,000 active members, not a passing in many, many years. Peace be with you. The Christian artistic way to destroy evil is not to hold it in the light and analyze it with the hope of making it repulsive, but to put it out of the consciousness, out of sight, out of mind. Every mental picture is a suggestion and stirs its corresponding unisons and vibrations in responsive souls. One familiar line about an acquaintance with vice expressed both a psychological and scientific truth. We are qualified by every mental delineation, as every atom in the whole cosmos affects every other atom, so every idle thought modifies the mind in some degree and puts its own quality in the ensemble. Even if one detests crime, he cannot long immerse his consciousness in its depicted turbid waves without taking on a little of the slime and sediment. The more immature the mind, the deeper the absorption. The modern daily press, with its startling headlines and suggestive cuts portraying crime and scandal and war and poverty and disease and all of the inclinations of the urge for money and power, and making mentally graphic everything that is so discordant and abnormal through familiarization, is a gigantic force largely exercised in the wrong direction. Through a creative law yet lightly regarded, the seed of innumerable ills, discords, and disorders is scattered broadcast. But when its hideous fruit is ripened into objective and material expression, we fail to recognize the connection. Everything around us has more or less power to transform us into its own image. If human happiness and harmony be desirable, it is bad art to go on ignorantly creating their destroyers. We busily delineate deformity and then wonder where its offshoots will come from. After putting up abnormal patterns, we unwittingly make them bright by daily renewal and polishing. By irreparable law, we grow like what we dwell with and feed upon. But after producing our discords by elaborate mechanisms, we turn about and conclude that they were made outside and belong to our divinely ordained normal economy. The mind dwells in the midst of its own creation and cannot avoid them. A mind not to be changed by place or time, the mind in its own place and in itself, it has been said, can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. So we are galvanizing the specters of life and engaging in moral consciousness without picturing Jesus Christ as a result, to the satisfaction of thousands. Services throughout our temple, even in the midweek, thousands gather, and we're seeing hundreds healed around the clock in the temple's ministry, 7 having been literally brought back from the dead by clinical evidence. Every known disease cured, cancers expectorated before our eyes in every temple service. In our last meeting, one woman who had been crippled for years was commanded through the authority of this Christ consciousness to walk. She not only walked, but ran, and exuded the such enthusiasm as you've not seen in your day, shouting, "I can walk, I can walk," screaming it so everyone could hear. This was the power of thought. So let us think as the Christ commands. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So let us outpicture positivism, and in the field of race relations demonstrate harmony, goodwill, and justice towards our fellow man. And by so doing, we can inculcate the Christ and cause him to come condescendingly out of the suppositional heavens down into our earth plane and tabernacle with men, and literally as he is doing in people's temple, wipe away the tears from the eyes, remove sorrow from the human condition and the misery of outpicturing of antiquated social conditions, and restore apostolic community in all of its genius and power. Come and believe God, for all things are possible, and we are proving it every day and every hour in people's temple administration through this marvelous Christ consciousness.
I'm glad to report that God is a spirit of blessing and prosperity. When the famine shall have overwhelmed the old church system, and Ichabod shall be written above its altars, the glory of God hath departed. I'm glad to report that when men who would be prejudiced in lacks and wants and limitations due to the restrictions of their narrow literalism of theology, we shall be living in the abundance of every good desire. The thousand shall fall at our right hand and 10,000 at our left, but nothing shall come nigh our dwelling because God is here. So glad, so glad, so glad, so glad. You can live in scarcity if you choose, but we're living in the land of plenty. We're over on the other side of Jordan, where the sweet fields of Eden are blowing, where we see the rose of Sharon, where waters come out of the dry ground, the desert's blossoming like a rose. There's no dying here. God, the spirit of resurrection is in our midst. We're going to shout about it. If you don't like it, go to some dead church. You can go to some dead church. We're going to shout and praise God. Come here to praise God, we'll stay. If you come here just to be seen a man, get out of here, because we're going to enjoy God's presence. So glad. So glad. Bless you, my dear. Yes. Got a right to be. Sister down there shouting, was giving up to die on a hospital bed. Said you never lived. Sister next door came all the way by plane with a note on her neck from the east and seen it by vision. Sister Love, and her heart wouldn't even enable her to sit up. Now she works every day and makes quilts for the children. Nick's sister had a respiratory problem, 93 years of age. She's now cooking every day. They got reason to shout God Almighty. Hey, yes. Sister over there had a hemorrhage. Sister Joy, hemorrhage of the lung. They said they never get over that. She's here to praise God today, cooking every day, cooking in one of our lovely senior citizen homes. People in their 80s and 90s working every day like 15 and 20 year olds. What you talking about? You think we're not going to shout? Why, you can just go jump over the moon. Hey, God. We've seen cars that have been shoved off by drunks go clear down cliffs and not a scratch on people. We saw a bus that I prophesied falling off its jack on a person before it happened, and they weren't even scratched. What you talking about? Last week, Charlie Touche in our midst. My God Almighty, you think they're not going to praise God? We're going to exalt the name of Jesus. We're going to praise God. So glad to be here. It's wonderful. So glad. You may be seated. If you can be, if you don't want to be, keep on shouting. Oh, yes. Yes, God, 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 God. Beautiful, beautiful. I can look in every row and see those that were crippled, those that were blind, like sister down there, those that were crippled, those that could not see. And you say we're not going to shout when we're over here in the land of plenty, and we're out here in the sweet fields of Eden, and we're enjoying heaven while you're looking for heaven someplace else, and we're living in heaven. You say we're not going to shout. Oh, no, child. You're not going to take our shout away from us. We're going to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Hey, yes, Almighty God. You're not so good you can't shout. There's a school teacher over there, an administrator, shouting up a storm. That's a public school teacher over there from Richmond shouting because she met God. God healed her. Healed her back when no man could reach it. She got reason to shout, hallelujah. It's wonderful. Say, say. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him. Yes, God, God, God. Thank you, God, God. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Crippled, but now she lives. That's so good. We're talking about God here walking around. Take that microphone over that sister on the end that's been so mildly touched. I know she'd like to sing that song. Walk around, walk around, walk around, walk around in me. Take it in over there. Take it to it over there. That song's in my heart, in her heart. Walk around. Stand up and sing. She's another one living in our senior citizen home. Walk around, walk around, walk around, walk around in me. Have a sister going out there to take an unusual amount of water. Well, that's the seizures, the pressure of the seizures she feels. Take an unusual amount of water. Drink an unusual amount of water. I know. Have epileptic seizures. I know what your need is. God Almighty. I know your comings and goings. Because I'm in the land of the living. The same God that said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world," is here today to meet our needs conditionally if we will just submit ourselves to righteousness and holiness and peace without which no man shall see God. But if you follow peace and holiness with all men, then you can see God. Said, if you follow peace and holiness with all men, ye shall see the Lord. For without holiness and peace with all men, you cannot see him. So it follows that follow peace and holiness with all men and you shall see God. It's beautiful to consider to those that want to be magnified by this marvelous consciousness. We are bewitched by the presence of Christ. That's what you're wanting back there, Sister Edison. We are bewitched by the presence of Christ. So glad. At this stage, we often forget offerings, and there's no group on earth that does so much. 200 babies that have had clothes and shoes put on their feet that never knew shoes on their feet before this ministry came along. A children's home that we're purchasing and making an effort to do it. 40 acres, and it's filled to overflowing. This which calls out people and tells them the thoughts and heals the cancers that I've already healed today and the crippling of that woman's arm and tells them their loved ones far away, tells them the inner thoughts of their lives. No man can do this. No man knows the thoughts of the mind. Only the Word. What is the Word? The Word is God. The Word's not the dead letter of King James. Get this book. You study it closely. You'll be a changed person. You'll come into life. You will not know death but come into life if you study it and read it and digest it. But some of you won't even bother to give it when we say all you have to do is talk to a secretary and money won't stand in your way. The letter kills, but the Spirit giveth life. The Bible, in other words, letter to Romans, letter to Corinthians, letter to Colossians, letters to Revelations. The letter, the Bible kills, but the Spirit. What is the Spirit? God's Spirit is love. The Bible kills, but love makes alive. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Why, you can't know anything in the Bible without God sending his fivefold ministry. He said, you're perfected by apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. So I got an apostle. You don't know you got an apostle. You got a diaper changer. You haven't got an apostle. I know an apostle when I see one, and I haven't seen one in this continent. There's no apostle in the continent of America, but this apostle is sitting here now. I don't want you kidded. I don't want you hurt. I don't want your blood on my hands. I'm not going to mince any words with you. You're not sitting under an apostle unless you are here. And so I don't need any clapping. I just want them to be sure they digest it. The apostolic work, the mantle of God's 100-fold consciousness is here. This is the 100-fold realm. Now, if you want to be in 30%, you know what it is to be 30% alive? You know how it is to be 60% alive and 40% dead? He said there's 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. In here, we are 100% God, 100% alive, living in the actual conscious presence of the Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want to be 30% alive and 60% dead, that's your privilege. Because there's freedom, thank God, in the land. If you want to be 60% dead, stay dead. If you want to be in churches that will rob you to build buildings, take up offerings for cataracts, when you see an honest man standing before you in the same white robe, the same red shirt, the same one that I had on last night, was washed last night, same black pants, were ironed last night, because I've adopted 8 children. I suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of this righteousness of God of which I am. I've legally adopted 8, and I've reared dozens more, educated them, healed them, brought them out of schizophrenia, brought them out of drug damage. They're now doing, some of them, straight A work, one of them studying to be a doctor that could not talk. So it's beautiful to behold the spirit and the consciousness of the presence of God. I'm a living epistle. A living epistle that's read and known of all men. Why any of you would even be antsy and watching your clock, wondering if you have time to get to the musical, to get to the song fest, to get to the pastor's anniversary service? Why any of you would, having tasted of this heavenly gift, would not forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are behold and before? And why not? Why would you not press forward to the mark and the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that's in your midst right here for you to behold, to eat? That's why the eagles are gathered together. That's why the carcass is here. I have poured out myself, and people gather to eat of my flesh. Because it's the flesh of God. They pull on my body when I go down the aisles. No man could be pulled on like they pull on me. They pull on me and take my flesh, wanting to get virtue from it. He said, where the eagles are, where the carcass is, where one has died to self, where the carcass is mortified, where the body is dead to sin, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. You see, my body is dead to sin and the trespasses of carnal law. I'm no longer living in the selfishness that Cain slew Abel. I'm no longer living in that capitalistic, aggrandizing spirit. But I'm living in the pure socialism and sharing of God Almighty. And as I do live in that spirit, I'm able to share with you. And I know people will pull on me until I can be pulled on to the end. They would pull on me, because he said, where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. And if it makes you strong, then I am glad. If I might die that you could live, if you can take cognizance of my teachings and my spirit an example, and reproduce a greater picture of me and a greater power than I am, I will be eternally glad, for such is the law of the mathematics of God. It compounds more and more unto the perfect day. Jesus said, these things shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father. So we're in a greater day than Jesus. If you're dancing around a cross or wearing a medallion on your throat, you're living in an old age. You're living behind the cross. You're living on the wrong side of resurrection. Because when he has come in this mighty move today, it's greater than the days of Jesus. He said, these things shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father. So the time will come when you shall speak to the Father directly. Not in my name, but directly. Some are knowing what that consciousness is. The Father sent his servants to the vineyard, to his own vineyard, to reclaim it from those that had been false husbandmen. And they killed the servants. And he sent the prophets And they killed the prophets. And they sent his son. And they did with him what they would. But he said then he would come himself, and no man would be able to take his life from him. And it is indeed the truth today. God has come on the scene. In the fathership degree, God Almighty has come on the scene. And he's going to take the harvest. He's going to take his vineyard back from those false rascals. From those husbandmen that have spoiled the vineyard. God himself has come. In the hundredfold. So you might as well quit trying to shoot him. The last time that they shot before your eyes didn't even bring the blood. The first time it's growing more and more, you see. The other time it brought the blood and left the holes. The last time it didn't leave a hole. Because no greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for his friends. So I put myself in the way of a bullet that would have killed others this week, as you saw. No man take my life from me. I took my life up, and I shall lay it down when it pleases me. But I shall say to you, you the lost tribes, the chosen of Israel, I say to you in the spirit of prophecy, you that have been called out from amongst the dead bones of Ezekiel's boneyard, you that are chosen, upon you of whom the ends of the world have come, I say unto you that my mind, my supernatural spirit, my supernatural voice will always be sitting on this chair. Heaven and earth will pass away. Bodies will come and go, but I shall remain eternally, faithfully, forever. I am God, and God does not change. Stay around. You've been wanting to see me die. Stay around. For I shall always have a voice. You little puny source of the other fella. You that have not had your soul set on fire by God, but your soul set on fire by hell. It's good that you find your way out of this assembly. It's so true. I want you to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. If you'd know God, then you wouldn't be in all these troubles. If you'd know God, you'd prosper and be in good health, even as I am, in every sinew and fiber and cell and atom of my bodily form. If you know God, you'll have peace that passeth all understanding. When you know God aright, not the God that's afar off, you listen to the righteousness that Paul said, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heaven and bring him down? For the sky and the heavens are nowhere. Who shall descend into the deep and the grave and bring him up from the dead? Because you can't bring him up from the dead. But Paul said, where is the word? He said, it's in thy mouth and in thy heart. And I've come to show you that I, being God, I shall make you God even as I am, saith the Lord. That's why they crucified Jesus. He said, for what good work do you stone me? Then he told the truth. He said, it is because I say ye are gods. Did you know that's written there, child, before you criticize? Did you know that's in your Bible? In spite of all the mistakes that are there, it said, ye are gods. I have come to claim my inheritance. I have considered it not robbery to be equal with God. And I'm enjoying resurrection. I am enjoying compassion. I am enjoying power. I am enjoying blessings. Blessings and blessings. The multitude of blessings. Out as far as I can see on the mathematical field, I'm enjoying the countless blessings of the infinity of infinity. Some know their Redeemer, and they see God, and they reproduce God. He said to whoever would claim, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Then you free yourself from racism, from the ownership of things, from the possessiveness of materiality. When you free yourself from the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, when you free yourself from capitalistic enslavement and jealousies, when you free yourself from mortality and all of its versions, when you are pure of all those things, then you will keep on in San Francisco, California. You know God. And you'll see Him. And He'll walk with you. And He'll talk with you. And He'll tell you that you are His own. And the voice you hear will be the voice of socialist cheer. And He'll always be with you. And He'll never leave you. To those that know God aright, you won't have to sing to some sky that never opened up once to help you. You'll not have to hold on to a black book written by King James of England, who sent the first ship, the good ship Jesus, to bring back our brothers and sisters in chains. You'll not look to the letter that doesn't even know the ancestry of Jesus. Matthew disagrees with Luke. Matthew 1 and Luke 3, 23 disagree as to who Jesus' grandfather is. And they both trace him through Joseph, but both give him 15 different grandparents. And one has 15 more grandparents than the other, getting him back to Abraham. You don't know anything by the letter. You don't know where Jesus ascended. Two different mountains are mentioned, and one suggestion it was at the Last Supper. You don't know what happened to him on the cross. One says, one scripture, one Bible verse says that the thieves were which were with him, railed on him. All the thieves cursed him. The other says only one. And the other thief cursed and rebuked the other one. And Jesus said to the one good thief, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." One scripture says that Jesus, after he was baptized with this union of God, when the combustion of God took place in him, you see, he had to be combusted into God. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus was made obedient. If you're perfect, you don't have to be made obedient. He was made obedient and conformable to the image of the Son of God through the death. He was made conformable, made obedient through what? The death of the cross. He was made perfect, what? Through sufferings. That's why I said, though he was a slave, that's the beauty of Jesus. He said, though I was a servant, I considered it not robbery to be equal with God. That's why that same Jesus who came out of Nazareth, in which they said no good thing ever came out of Nazareth, they chided him and said, "We know who our father is, Abraham, but who's your father?" Teasing him about being born of a bastard. Born in a bastardly relationship. But it mattered not to him. He kept his mind and his ideas stayed on God's principles. Finally, when he made his ascension and overcame and stood up bravely for his ideas, laid his life down for his friends, they said on the day of Pentecost, this same Jesus that was once just the Nazarene, this same Jesus is now both Lord and Christ. He sits at the right hand of power. Because he was perfected through suffering, he learned obedience, and now he's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Human as he was, carpenter's son, come out of Nazareth where there's no good thing. But he was a slave and he knew it, but he still considered it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, how do you know these things? How do I know the thoughts of these women's minds and heal both of them and their mother of cancer? How did I do that? How? Because the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. That's what straightened the arm and made it move again. That's what caused that crippled woman's leg to be straightened a while ago. That's what caused it. Because the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. It discerns the thoughts and knows the intents of the heart. You read Hebrews 4:12 and you'll see that I am the Word. I am incarnating the Word. And the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is made flesh. The Word of God is here. It matters not only that I am sorry in my spirit for you that will not rejoice in this recognition. You cannot get enthralled by it because you just have not tasted of the heavenly gift. You would know that I'm hid with Christ in God. You would know that I'm made in His image. You would recognize the truth that has evolved and that I'm involved in, the infinite, the wonderful, beautiful possibilities of infinite mind. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's just like the oak that makes the forest, but it's all involved in the acorn. The seed that formed in me has now become a mighty oak, and I'm reproducing acorns, and I'm going to have a forest, and we're going to have the trees of beauty that shall not be moved, like a tree that planted by the water. We shall overcome. I declare, I promise, I forswear in the Ark of the Covenant, we shall cover the earth with this great knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. I declare unto you, we shall glorify the name of Jesus. The true followers of this, the body of God. I think I have said enough to stir up the pure minds. If you have a pure mind, I've stirred it up. If you have a disturbed mind, at least that's better than having a decided one. Let your disturbance continually concentrate on this effervescent flow and see if this truth will make you whole. Just try me and see if my spirit is not of God. What would you judge me by? Would you judge me by the dead letter? The dead letter that says after Jesus was touched by the dove, symbolizing his combustion into the consciousness of God's Son, in the sonship degree, when the Holy Ghost descended upon him. One scripture says he went 40 days into the wilderness and stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. King James has got it mixed up. In another place, he says 3 days after his baptism, he was in Cana of Galilee, which is some 80 miles from the wilderness, turning water into wine. So well, he could have been supernaturally in two places at the same time. All right, but what about this? Did he keep the feast of the Passover with his parents in Jerusalem every year? That's what one writer says. Said he never went to Herod, to flee from Herod. Read your Bible. Said he never fled from Herod. Said he kept the feast of the Passover every year in Jerusalem. Another said he went to Jerusalem and never returned. He'd be alive then if he even came back supernaturally. Ah, child. It's all through the book. Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22. Paul said the ones that were with him on the road to Damascus when he had that great conversion, which he had. But King James is the king of England. He doesn't know his right hand from the left. He said those that were with him in one case saw the shape but did not hear the voice. The other place it turns it just around and says the opposite. They heard the voice but did not see the shape. You don't tell me it's not so. Don't shake your head at me. You better read the book and see. That's what it says. You quote to me, there's three that bear record in heaven. John 5. Three that bear record in heaven. God never said it. Jesus never said it. Apostle Paul never said it. Pope Pius, one of the ugliest Roman popes of the Catholic Church, put it in there to support that ungodly doctrine of the Trinity. It was never there. Say, I never heard tell such. Well, you better go read Clark's commentary. You better read all your Pentecostal commentaries. You better read your Catholic commentary. All your concordances. Any good one will tell you that. That's not original scripture. Well, if they sneaked in one lie on you, how many more did they sneak in on you? That's why he said he'd speak for himself. That's why I said, how can you hear without him preaching? And how can he preach lest he comes? That's the way it originally said. You have it, how can he preach lest he's been sent? He said he'll preach for himself and he'll be sent from heaven. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God, as I told you, is Hebrews 4:12. It discerns the thoughts and knows the intents of the hearts. Didn't say you could get your way to heaven by reading. You can't get to cross the street by reading in the Bible. You get lost before you get to Geary Avenue. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Word of God. You say, I'm going up there to that church. Why do you want to go up there? He hasn't got the Word of God. Can he call out the sick? Can he raise the dead? Can he prophesy? Can he discern the thoughts of the mind? Can he know the knowledge of what their ailments are? Can he tell them their loved ones back 100 years? Can he tell them what happened to them when they were born? Can he tell them what happened to them before they were born? Can he tell them what's going to take place in the years to come? No! So why don't you stay where the Word of God is? Take your empty vessels and go after empty cisterns. That's what most of you are doing. And the well's flowing here with water. Out of my belly's flowing water is the issues of life. Iramanika, Nisha. I'm lifting you from economic and moral oppression. I'm putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Say, why you don't glorify Jesus? I glorify Jesus not by mouth. That won't help him. I'm going to live him. He said, become living epistles. Let the Word be in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm causing people to talk about Jesus. They're talking about him everywhere. Saying, no, that man over there raised from the dead, bringing all races together. My enemies are talking about me. My friends are talking about me. And they're trying to shoot me. The devil tried to shoot the devil? Not on your life. In the last days, they'll turn you over to the councils and the governors, put you in prisons, and even kill you, thinking they do God a service. They that live godly in Christ Jesus won't maybe, but shall suffer persecution. Do you know anybody else they're trying to shoot? Do you know anybody else that they've poisoned? They poisoned me, and they poisoned some others, and I raised us all up. And they took the poison to General Hospital, Ukiah, and it said it was enough to kill a team of horses. But I didn't even get dizzy. I think I would do some thinking about it down there. I'd think about it real close. I'd wonder about it. Wonder what is this man? What is he? What is it that he can do these things? I'm the hundredfold realm of God. God personified. I am in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the oneness of Christ, I'm walking here. The body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's all foreign to you. And you get nervous. The sister's going to leave. She's upset about it. She's going to have a stroke too and never see her. What you talking about? I'm just putting into practice. I put into practice what you have been told about so long ago. Every day they tell you, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. I come along and tell you that I'm the body of God. And that bothers you. Because when I become the body of God, it means you're going to have to become the body of God. You're going to have to listen to what God has to say. It's all right if we keep these things out here in the suppositional. Keep them out in the imaginary realms. When somebody says exactly what temple means, that means you're the body of God. If you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, you're the body of God. The Holy Ghost is God's Spirit. So I'm just manifesting what you've been talking about. And I shall close. Last night we just healed the sick and we healed a plenty. All up and down these aisles. The blindness, that's the most beautiful thing. There were so many blind healed in our last South meeting. It was, I just, my heart thrills. Couldn't see. Dark. Some could only see a shade of light. And they could define pencils and describe in detail from the back of the auditorium. Sister in the Sacramento meeting could describe to the back of the auditorium. She told the numbers of the fingers that I had in the sequence. I'd change them all around, and she'd keep right up with it. Been blind for 12 long years. I mean, she couldn't see anything. Oh, whatsoever things I do are true, and they're beautiful and honest and lovely and of good report, and they're pure. Why don't you see God? Why don't you see God?
say, you're not supposed to speak of your own value. I'm not. I'm speaking of God's value. Paul said, if others will boast of their apostleship, though, he said, I will boast more than you all. He said, I'm going to straighten out a bunch of these people that are sick and ridiculously following false apostles. He said, I am the chiefest of apostles. Well, I'm going to tell you that you've never run into a live wire in your life like I am. Never. My sermonizing would disturb you some because the nature of my spirit is much more quiet in ordinary terms. People gather around my animal shelter and children's work and they say, you're such a quiet person. That's the office that's speaking now. The office of authority. One must have authority over mortality. Our mortality will eat us up like a terrible swamp. Yes. I have to deal with it with authority. Yes. I've got to speak and cry loud and spare not. But I'm really a gentle, very meek, mild, mannered person. If you follow me in my love of animals, you saw the bird that had bitten the woman and she couldn't handle it and she gave it to me last night and how it was loving at my ear and just kissing me.